The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday the 13th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host...
Bird on a bike.
Miss on a bike.
All right.
How you doing?
I'm good.
You're right.
Yes.
You're looking good.
Thanks.
What have you been up to?
Running.
Have you?
Yeah, nearly there.
Have you escaped yet?
Not yet. No. 5 weeks. Also, there's a big announcement today. Did you see that?
Which one?
Lisa Marie Settle's put a big announcement. Done.
Oh, yeah. You're speaking at the Business Diaries, aren't you?
I've had to keep it quiet. Do you know how difficult that is?
No, why?
Well, because I'm usually... I'll tell everybody everything, won't I?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'd like to not think that, but, Mr. Andrews, but yes.
Yeah, no, you're gobby.
No.
Oh, okay.
Professional.
Oh, professional. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, no, yes. I knew it was something like that.
So, yeah, so I'm speaking at Business Diaries.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Oh, yeah. And my buddy. It couldn't have been better, could it? We've sandwiched the evening. So there's Deborah Turner starting off.
Yeah.
And I'm closing.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yes.
What are you talking
really
about?
It's called Shall I Help You Pack?
Really?
It is.
Oh, I've got to come to that.
I know.
I've got to come to that.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I haven't missed one of the Business Diaries yet. I've been to all of them so far. Oh, I've been to all of them so far.
Yeah, you love them, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I really think it's good. It's one of those different... For those that don't know, the Business Diaries is a networking event with a slight difference. It's a storytelling event. And what they have is five different people that tell a story. What is about 15 minutes? 20 minutes?
Yeah, I've got between 13 and 15.
And they're business people, but they're business people telling the story. They're not selling anything. They're not telling you about their business. They're not, you know, it's something that happened to them in the course of their business as a personal thing around a theme normally. And Lisa Settle, who runs it, normally tells you the theme and then asks you to think of a story to go with it, which is great. I spoke at the second one, I think.
Yeah.
But I've been to all of them. There's been five so far.
Yeah.
And they've all been absolutely brilliant. And a range of different stories, from the funny to the absolute tear-jerking, all kinds of things and all kinds of stories. And it's just so different and refreshing and new.
Well, now she's setting it out to another town now as well. Yeah. So it's gone to Tunbridge Wells.
They're
now
doing Tunbridge Wells
so
as well.
So she's going to
do
city. So I love that when you see an idea that's just come from, let's just have a little bit of a difference to, okay, now we've got a business loan, let's scale it a little bit. And people, she's going to start scaling this, which I adore. So I'm looking forward to that, speaking with my buddy.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah, but I'm allowed to tell you now. I've had to, like I said, she's like, Bird, you can't do anything. I'm saying, I want to get this out on social. Mm. I said, I can say on my show. She went, no. I was like, why?
Yeah.
I couldn't keep a secret. Mm. Anyway, so that's good.
Yep, so we're looking forward to that. When is it?
Next Thursday,
the 22nd.
22nd.
It starts at 6:30, I believe.
I believe so. We've got a busy week that week.
We have, yeah. And it's at the Innovation Centre in Medway.
So get yourself along and the tickets go. It gets completely sold out.
Yeah.
So go on to Eventbrite. How are you doing, Mr. Andrews?
I'm okay, thank you. Yeah.
What do you know?
What do I know? Not a lot, really. I've just been really busy just lately. Really busy. Loads of things happening.
Interesting. I did a live Facebook Live last night. I know that sounds ridiculous, but... I was being interviewed for a change, which is unheard of. And it was really interesting being on the other end of being interviewed. And I'm happy to always speak about what I do and what my business does. But it's really interesting to see how somebody else interviews you.
Right.
And to have it done on Facebook Live as well. So I think that's something that's going to start to come more and more, is that people are going to use Facebook Live for a platform to interview as well, so that... You know, I can be anywhere in the world and interview anybody, and they're just giving me their time for the hour rather than travel. Mm. I mean, like, we've got guests in today. You've had to take probably the whole day out, haven't you, to come on the radio show. So, you know, I think that's a really good thing to watch out. So is there anybody in your business that you would want to elevate so that you could share their value and to your tribe, I suppose, on Facebook? Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, I'm just listening to what you're saying.
You looked really intent then.
I was intently listening.
Really professional.
I was actually bothering to listen to
you
what you said.
You looked intelligent.
I tell you what, Jill, that never... Did you see my face?
Yes,
I did. Good Lord, what's going on?
I couldn't think of anything else to do, so I thought I'd better listen to you.
I'm shocked and stunned. I'm quite... thank you very much.
That's all right. You're absolutely
right. But I think it's going to go more and more that way now.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, for me, we're on the radio, so we do a podcast as well, which is great. People can listen to in their cars and they don't have to be present to watch. last night it was at 7:30, perfect time for people if they've got children or they have to be in the home, and they can actually still listen, see, feel. And it got some great, great numbers looking at it, got some great reviews, and, you know, and then I can then share that content as well. So very clever.
Yeah, cool. No, it's good. It's good. There are things happening. You asked me what's happening, and there's some things that I kind of haven't really thought about because I thought about them a long time ago, and they're just kind of coming home to roost. And I don't know if you saw, organisations like the Institute of Directors are in big problems at the moment. And it really doesn't surprise me in the least.
I
left the Institute of Directors about 2 years ago, and I raised it at the time that I left, and I just said, look, you're fast becoming too obsessed with the top end and not obsessed with your local members. And that's how it's proved, and everybody's getting the ump with it for exactly that reason.
And things change.
Yeah, absolutely.
The way we do stuff, the way we communicate, the way we network has changed.
Well, I'd be interested to hear what everybody else thinks about this. I've had this big thing for a long time that... with social media and digital engagement and all the rest of it, and the fact that we live in a global village, yada, 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 everybody thinks about that. But for me, the reality is that we're getting more and more local. You're seeing more and more local business happening, more and more local groups coming up. And I don't cite that as a bad thing. I cite that as a really good thing. And I think we're using technology to enhance our local reputations as much as we are global.
Well, hold on a minute. Isn't it both?
Well, I think it is to some extent.
Should be both, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the way I look at it with technology is, and I use this as a strapline with the radio station when I first started it, I said we're a community radio station, but we're a community of interest, not geography. Yeah, so basically people listen to us. Do you like that?
I do.
It took me ages to think of that.
That's nice, Mr. Andrews.
You know, because it was about having shows that attracted an audience for the content of that show, wherever they may be. And I think that's the power of technology, is that you know, Chris Anderson called it the long tail and stuff like that. It's about attracting those audiences, but it's more than that. It's a communications device. And one of the things it's enabled us to do is to communicate amongst ourselves better as well. Which just sounds odd, but it actually is fairly...
It's the only way forward.
Yeah.
It's the only way forward. Yeah. Just on the back of Business Diaries, of course, that's Lisa Settle from Telcare.
Yeah.
And they've said, it's Tuesday, so you know what that means. It's Business Bunker. So can they have a shout-out? There you go, Lisa. There is your shout-out for Telcare.
Yeah. We do want to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. And you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You can, in fact, call me. On 01233 220035, that's Ashford, 01233 220035.
I haven't called you for ages on
you
the
haven't?
Line.
No, you haven't.
No.
You could email us at bunker.
We did that once, Jill.
She did.
It was hilarious.
Me. While she was sat in the studio.
I was sat in the studio when I rang him. It was very funny.
Yeah. I didn't take the call.
That's got you off your mark.
Yeah,
Carry on.
You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. We have had 1,943,762,000,008 tweets so far.
We have had a lot today, though,
we have had a lot. Yeah, we have had a lot.
More than I'm going through it now, going, my good Lord.
Yeah. We've had a lot, and they've been coming in on a rolling basis, and we've got loads of emails, and we've got some really fantastic, interesting guests to talk to, and I've got a pre-recorded interview with the new owner of Finch Cox down there at Goudhurst, so loads of interesting stuff to cover on the show today. I'm going to start off, well, I'll tell you what, you've read a tweet, haven't you? I'm going to read a tweet, and this is from Adrian Kearney at AK Pet Services, and he said, VanillaWeb, there's a pets church service for pets past and present at St Augustine's Church, Gillingham, on the 18th of March at 3 p.m.
I love that. And while we're on pets, I need some help. So please, can you tweet in? So my dog comes. You're looking at me like
I just thought of a joke.
I need some help.
Don't do it now.
Okay. So Honey, the dog, comes out running with me. She did 16.5 miles on Sunday. She's a phenomenal. She's marathon training with me. She's got no choice, bless her. Anyway. She is Dora the Explorer, and she just bolts off.
Yep.
Anybody know how we help her not be in so much of an unsafe environment? She literally just goes.
Yeah, a lead. Next question.
So anyway, if you have wisdom
the
on
best
this,
the best are solutions there, are the simplest.
Are there any dog whisperers out there?
No, but can't you get that? I'm not, you know.
Stop
I'm,
it. I don't want her on a lead. No, I want
but,
her to be
hold on, hold
free.
On. Hold on, hold on. You can get those dog leads that really extend miles.
Look, she go, they don't go miles. And what happens if they get wrapped around a tree or something? I want her to be able to go and come. To go and come.
Well, train her then.
I trying.
Yeah. Honey,
but
here. Honey, here.
So anyway, anybody normal and as professional and an expert in this field, could you please let us know or connect with me? Because I need your help.
We need a dog whisperer.
Just on the, we need a dog whisperer. Any yeah. dog whisperers out there, connect with me. Continue.
There was a lady, I can only remember her surname. I do apologise. A lady called Murphy that was a dog trainer, and she came on the Bunker Show about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. I can't remember your first name.
And it's really interesting. You said to me, trainer, I have. Mm. You know, I've changed. I can go through all these things. I'm not saying I've done everything. I don't believe in saying I've done everything. What I'm saying is where do I go next? What do I do? Because she is, it's an amazing dog. And it's just a shame that I can't let Dora the Explorer off. Because she's literally gone.
Mm.
Anyway, I just thought, because you mentioned pets, I thought, oh, I bet you know. This is the place to find out.
Absolutely. I'm sure someone will tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Raina Horton.
How is she post?
She's okay. She says, hi.
Event.
Yeah, she says, hi, Paul. Please can you give us a shout out for Discover the Vine. It's taking place at the Little Bull in Brenchley. And there's cheese and wine tasting. And it's happening on Saturday, March the 17th. That's St. Patrick's Day, isn't it? That's going to be messy, isn't it? And it starts at 7:30 p.m.
Well, congratulations to Arena because she was a runner-up at Women in Business.
At Women in Business, yeah indeed.
So
well done. Yeah. So keep your tweets coming. We got a few more. What have you got there, Bob?
I have one from Terry Botfield. We just love Terry's handle.
TD Botty.
I love it. I love it. And he's got a launch of his breakfast networking this Thursday at 7:45. And it's just all wrong, but it's also right. At the Ship at Dymchurch. You went, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
It's beautiful in there, isn't it?
Yeah, no. Well, hold on. Backtrack. I went to the event at the St. Paul Arms in New Romney, which is the coffee event. I have been to the Ship in Dymchurch because we had our Channel Radio Christmas party there.
Yes, we did.
And it is also equally very nice. And both of those establishments have been recently, extensively and expensively refurbished.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. We've had a tweet from the Sound of Spitfire, which is a radio station.
It is?
Yeah, radio station based up there in Lincolnshire. And I went, hello, Paul, we're listening. Can we have a shout out, please? Why are you listening? Why aren't you broadcasting something? No, I know. It's a guy called Chris Hyde who's owns the station.
Yeah.
And he's asked for a shout out, and quite right too. He plays some cracking music. Do have a listen.
He always connects with us, Chris.
He does, yeah. He's
so
a good lad.
He's a great.
Yeah, check them out. They play some great music on there. Sound of Spitfire is their Twitter handle. Mm. Spitfire Radio.
We've also got this amazing women's event. It's a women in business event at the Mercure Great Danes on the 28th of March with a fantastic panel of speakers, including somebody from Google, which is really interesting. So I was just wondering, had a look at it. So this is Emma Cox, and she'll be speaking as well. And this is just to talk about women in business and how to go. So you've got Rachel Bower from Google Digital Team, who will be talking about online traffic. Then you've got Emma from Cox Consultancy and the Network to Network, and talking about how to bring out the best of women. And then you've got the director of Pecunia Limited. So that's on the 28th of March at Maidstone Mercure Hotel.
Fantastic. I've got a bit of a long email here, but it really is worth reading out because this is a fabulous thing. An email is from the lovely Nicola Coppen, and she says, hi Paul, hopefully you're aware of our new initiative. And Nicola is from Diligence Project Management Services. She works in the construction industry, and their initiative is called Four Roles, Four Goals. And it's an innovative way to help young people bridge the gap between education and the workplace through real work, interactive work experience. The young people form a junior press team, and at the end of each event that we stage, after a fact-finding day in an exciting setting, they produce a sponsored publication. Okay.
In order for us to keep the cost down for a main sponsor and to enable the young people to become junior press team at Brands Hatch, we are offering others a ticket to join us on the day in our hospitality box. So this is an event that's taking place at the British Superbike Championships, okay? So if I've understood this correctly, Nicola and her team have a hospitality box, but they've also got a team of young people acting as a press team that are going to produce a publication at the end of the day. And you can come along and pay a small amount of money to join them in the hospitality box. And they go on to say, whilst our education partner and team work with the young people, I'll be there with you networking and enjoying the bikes. All attendees, whether main sponsors or individual ticket purchasers, will be promoted as helping the initiative. So it's part of the corporate social responsibility issue as well, with the main sponsor being promoted immediately on our website and social media. We hope you can support us by purchasing a ticket, which is only £47 each, or by being the main sponsor for the British Superbikes, enabling 10 young people to form your company junior press team, and that's £1,150. We hope you can follow the scheme on Facebook, Four Roles, Four Goals is the Facebook page, or Twitter, which is Diligence Info, or use the hashtag the number four roles, the number four goals. We hope you can be part of the day. Please feel free to talk to us about it. You can find out more at our website, which is diligence-pm-services.co.uk, or you can follow Nicola on the Twitter, and I can't remember her Twitter handle now, but I think it's diligence-pm, or you can call them on 07961 781 981. That's 07961 781 981.
I love it. We've got loads going on. So there's the unconference on, I think it's Thursday, isn't it? The 15th of March. That's this week.
Yep.
At Westgate Hall in Canterbury. That's 9:30 to 1:30. And that's experience the challenges and success of running your own business. Now, Mr. Andrews, you've done this 2 years running on the trot, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I'm not out of this one, by the way.
No, neither am I, unfortunately. Nettie will not be pleased with either of us. What did you find from it? Why should we go?
Oh, well, for me, it was scary because I was chairing the event. And when you chair an unconference that's got no agenda and no speakers and you've got 8 hours to fill, it's a bit of a worry, really.
Even for you?
Even for me.
A seasoned MCist.
Yeah, even for me. Well, because, you know, I could talk for 8 hours, you know, I can. But the idea behind it was that we draw speakers from the audience, basically.
Did it work?
It did, actually. It worked really well. And it's gone from strength to strength.
Yeah. But so this is the third year.
This is the third year, yeah. The first one was really nerve-wracking. And they kind of changed the format a little bit the second year. And they've gone back to the first format.
Well, they've got pop-up workshops. Yeah. They've got two-minute business pitches. Do you know what is so important? To get your pitch down to 2 minutes. I cannot tell you. Business stands, networking, and more. So get yourself along. Book a free place. Go on to www. Which means?
World Wide Web.
mybiz-canterbury.co.uk.
Fantastic. You just mentioned Kent Women in Business. The director of marketing and PR agency Sharp Minds Communication was the only double winner at the annual Kent Women in Business Awards last Friday night,
really?
The 9th of March. As well as taking the PR and marketing title, Siobhan Sterling was also named Women's Champion for her new movement, 50 Challenges, helping those aged 50-plus to create a new blueprint for midlife.
I love it.
I can't stand all these people supporting youngsters. What?
Don't know what to say to that.
50. Kids.
Come to one of our monthly lunchtime meetings in Kent. And this is We Mean Biz. Didn't you have Susie on last week? She was We Mean Biz.
Susie Fish.
This is networking with professional, like-minded people. And this is at Medway Group, meets on the third Tuesday every month at Bridgewood Manor between 12 and 2. Or you can go to Maidstone, which meets on the fourth Thursday of every month at Oakwood Manor. Check yourself into them.
Fantastic, thank you. I've had a tweet from some guys called Gardening for the Disabled. Okay, and it's our 50th anniversary, so we're celebrating the 1960s. Bring flower power to your garden and help people with disabilities and mental health issues. Let me find out some more about it. You can get Alan Titchmarsh's top tips for a donation of £10. Yeah? And let's share the joy of gardening. Now, they're raising money through Just Giving. And it's justgiving.com/50, and it's Revisit Flower Power. The best thing to do is follow them on the Twitter and find out all about this. It's Gardening, the number four, Disabled. Gardening, number four, Disabled. Do give them a follow. But basically, they're asking you to flower power up your garden, and if you want to know how to do it, you can donate £10, and Alan Titchmarsh will tell you.
Well, funny enough, you should say all about this, but we're now coming into that time, that season, where extreme sport becomes the biggest risk of injury.
For me,
which is gardening.
Yeah.
I'm being really serious.
Yeah.
So you've got a bag back today.
Yeah, I have.
What did we do? Just explain. You went to me, Brad, can you help me, da-da-da?
Yeah.
All I did was what?
You made me get up out of the chair better.
Just different.
Yeah.
Not better, just different.
Well, it was better because it didn't
hurt. Is it pain-free when you do that?
Yeah.
So, and the same thing with gardening. Please be careful. Get yourself fit for gardening. Don't think you can just go straight in the garden and then bend and lift and lever.
Yeah.
It isn't going to work.
And don't stand on the rake. That's my top tip. Don't stand on the rake. It hurts. Smashes you in the face.
Well, it depends which way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
exactly. Anyway, here, Sally Laker, I love you today. Bird and a bike, please can you give RFC Tankerton Deaf Children's Football Club a shout out? So this is for deaf children aged 6 to 12 years with any level of deafness meeting this week on Saturday 11:15 till 12:15 at All Saints Church Hall. In, I think that's Whitstable. Is that Whitstable?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, in Whitstable. Yeah. So, really check that out. That's email liz@tfcdefteam@gmail.com. There's your shout out, Sally.
Fantastic.
Wasn't you in that?
No, absolutely.
I'm becoming famous now. It's true.
Yeah, well, I've had enough of you. So, what we're going to do now, I'm going to play you an interview that I made last week.
How did you do it?
I did it. What do you mean, how did I do it?
Well, how did you make it? Did you go with a roaming...
No. I wrote it down and then read it. No, yeah, so I went with a microphone.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I was lucky enough to visit Finchcocks at Goudhurst. And those of you resident in Kent will know that Finchcocks for many, many years was a piano museum and a gorgeous country house. It was recently put on the market. And I went to meet Neil Nichols, who's the chap that purchased it, and to see what he's been doing there. So... it was absolutely, I had a tour of the place, it's absolutely gorgeous, and he's doing lots of work on it. But let's hear from Neil. This is Paul Andrews reporting for the Business Bunker Show. I'm at the absolutely gorgeous Finchcocks, and I'm with the new owner of Finchcocks, Mr. Neil Nichols. Neil, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's a real pleasure to see you, and thank you so much for inviting us into this wonderful house. How long have you been here?
So we've been here just over a year.
Fantastic. And, I mean, a lot of local people here in Kent know of Finchcocks, and it's been a lot of things in the past. You know, tell us some of the things it has been before.
So it began life as a family house for a rich and landed local family. It passed through two different families who both lost the property as a result of gambling debts in the second generation.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. Hopefully history won't repeat itself this time around. And then it began. A new set of shorter chapters in its life. So from about 1920, it moved into a number of different owners. One of which was a ballet school. So it operated as the Legat Ballet School for 10 years in the '60s.
Okay.
And then from the middle of the '70s, it operated as the world famous Piano Museum. Which operated for 45 years until 2015.
Absolutely, and I guess most of us locally here know it as the Piano Museum. So what made you decide to get involved in a project of this size?
Well, so I think it found us to some extent. So I'd been to Finchcocks as a schoolboy, so I grew up between Canterbury and Folkestone and came here on a school trip when I was 12 and had a fantastic day here and then a quarter of a century elapsed and I was still having piano lessons in London. I'm a very slow learner. and I noticed that my piano teacher had the auction brochure for Finchcocks on his piano. And I recognized the building but couldn't quite place it. Yeah. And he explained that actually the collection of period instruments was being auctioned off that week. And that the house was going on the market the week after. And so we gave the estate agents a call and came for a visit and fell in love. And after a fairly turbulent sales process, we ended up with it.
That's fantastic. Now, you're an entrepreneur. You have two or three businesses, and we talked about those businesses just before we came on air here. But you've decided to open a piano school. Tell me about that.
So I think, unlike my other businesses, this is a labour of love, yeah. And I suspect that it may never really be profitable. But that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it really is just to keep the music going here, and you know, having been here as a small boy and having that continued interest in the piano, I just thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity to keep the music going in some way, albeit not on such a grand scale. So I think we were quite cautious and quite conscious of the fact that we didn't want to tread on Richard and Katrina Burnett's toes. You know, they'd kind of created a whole world around them, which became internationally renowned and famous for famous and unique for the work that they did. Mm. And so, yeah, I'm very aware that we won't achieve that. Our objective is to keep the music going in a way that appeals to amateurs and enthusiasts.
But that's really nice though, isn't it? Because you've kept the ethos of the place and you've kept the rationale, i.e. pianos, but you've not tried to recreate what they did for all those years.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, although the piano is the common theme, our interests are quite different. You know? Mm. So their interest is very much in the restoration and preservation of period instruments, period keyboard instruments. Mm. Whereas ours really is much more about playing and much more about learning. And so actually the piano school is designed for people a little bit like me, who played a lot at school and got to A standard. Might be, you know, the standard might vary somewhat, but they got to a certain standard, and then you know, once you leave school, you tend not to play very much at all, and I think for adults, it's quite difficult to keep going because you never have the discipline or the space in your schedule to keep going with weekly lessons.
Sure. Now, you kindly give me a tour of the house, and there's a lot of work to be done on the house, but you have already refurbished the coach house. Tell us about that. Tell us the style in which you've refurbished it and the point of that.
So the coach house was originally the coach house for the 18th century mansion building, and you can still see the courtyard there, and you can still see the stable partition. So a lot of the original features are still there.
Absolutely, and one of the bedrooms still got would you call them mangers or whatever you call them, where they used to put hay for the horses, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So there are all sorts of wonderful period features which we were quite keen to preserve, although we had to build, as you saw, we had to construct the bedrooms around them. So one of the bedrooms has, you know, has, as you say, the feeding troughs, and others have stable partitions, and you know, there's kind of oak beams all over the place and spiral staircases.
I have to say, it looks absolutely fabulous. You've done an absolutely incredible job on it.
Yeah, it was lovely. It's nice to have, you know, it's nice to have good bones to work with. You know, the building, you know, has a fantastic structure that we could work with, and actually had been modified, perhaps somewhat utilitarian, in a somewhat utilitarian way. So it was used as storage, and there wasn't, you know, it kind of very much served a function, served a purpose. Whereas actually we could make it a slightly nicer place to stay, and we could really kind of make the best of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, I've also had a tour of the piano area in the cellars, which is wonderful. They're brick vaulted cellars, absolutely fantastic, with some beautiful glass doors in there that really attracted me. And how many pianos do you have there?
So we've got 8 grand pianos down there, and so we had to assemble our little mini collection from scratch. And so I've learned a lot about grand pianos as well as 18th century brick buildings over the past year. So we have a range of pianos, but they're all grand. So we were really, you know, we thought we've got the space, and actually people who are coming on a piano course would really love to play grand pianos, because actually it's quite an unusual thing, and if you play, you know, a digital piano, that's one thing, and if you play an upright, that's another, but when you get to play in a grand, it really is amazing. You feel your whole body reverberating. It's quite a physical experience. Right. And so we thought, well, you know, actually let's make it all about the fun, and let's offer only grand pianos. And so yeah, we bought eight, and we have some wonderful pianos in the collection. We have a Bösendorfer and a Blüthner and a Steinweg, as well as a couple of modern ones as well. So we have a Yamaha and a couple of other newer manufacturers, and they're all wonderful in their own way.
Absolutely. So because obviously people can't see this, which is a shame, although there are some pictures on the website of both the house and the coach house and the piano area, but basically you have recital areas and practice rooms.
Yeah, that's right. So we had the cellar is made up of six or seven smaller rooms, and it has one big kind of double vaulted central room, which we use as the recital room, and then around it we have a number of smaller vaults, which are still reasonable size. So we put a grand piano in there. Still plenty of space to kind of get around it. And so around this central atrium we have all of these recital rooms. And so the idea is that we have workshops and seminars in the main room, and then people break out and go and practice privately. For half an hour or an hour, and they come back together, and so the learning process is very collaborative and a great deal of fun.
Absolutely. Now, I do believe you've already held some workshops.
We have, yeah. So we've had two or three courses so far, and they've been fantastic. So we got people to rate them actually at the end. So we went through the whole process and got people to rate them at the end, and we gave them a 5-point scale, you know, of kind of excellent, very good, okay, not so good, and terrible. And then I put a sixth one on, which was life changing, you know, beyond excellent. And half of the people who came on the course rated it as life changing.
Wow.
So it got between excellent and somewhere between excellent and life changing, which is I put it on slightly flippantly, but it was, yeah, it was lovely to have such good feedback.
Fantastic. I apologise for asking this question. I'm a piano philistine. Sorry. So, what kind of people are coming on these? You know, are they experienced pianists, or are they learners, or is it a cross section?
So there's two groups really. There's people like me who played at school and then lapsed and pretty rusty and pretty hopeless, but you know, really keen to re-engage.
Right.
And so, you know, it's people who got kind of to grade, I don't know, somewhere between grade 3 and grade 8 and then stopped. Right. And then, but they can play, they're just a bit.
So it's not all chopsticks.
No. Actually, some of the music is wonderful, actually. The things you hear people playing. And that's right. the best thing about it. You know, here, you inevitably go on these courses and there are people kind of much better than you, and so you can, you know, you really kind of get inspiration from them. So that's one group, and then the other group is the absolute beginners, so people who've always wanted to play but never really done it at all. And in that group there's a subgroup which is people for whom it's on their bucket list. So, you know, one of the things they wanted to do, you know, get to retirement, they wanted to learn the piano and they never had.
Right.
And so we run beginners courses as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. And in terms of the teachers, how's that working?
Well, so we have one director of music who, he helped me kind of create the courses, and he's a chap who I knew from university. He was the organ scholar at the college that I was at, and so he's a brilliant guy, and I've known him for ages, and so he helped me construct the program, and he runs about half of them.
Right.
And then we have two other professional pianists who come along and run the courses, and we have ones that kind of focus on jazz and improvisation, and then ones that kind of focus on practice technique and performance.
Fantastic. Neil, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's been an absolute pleasure to walk around your home and the piano school and the coach house. It's a wonderful, glorious building. And we really thank you. Without people like you restoring buildings like this, we'd lose them. So thank you so much for doing what you've done. It's absolutely fantastic, and we wish you much success with it.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Neil. Cheers.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with.
Join us at the Networkers Networking event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live, register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today. Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 13th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host.
Me.
Me. Over there.
Bird. All right.
Yeah, all right.
Good.
Cool. So that was Neil Nichols from Finchcox Piano School. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous there. Yeah.
We've always wanted a baby grand in our house.
Yeah, and he's got eight. Well, not baby grands, got eight full grand pianos there.
Beautiful, aren't they? Just beautiful.
Yeah, in the cellar, in a vaulted cellar. It's unbelievable.
Can you play though?
Yeah.
I can't, but my sons can beautifully. So one of them's super talented and, yeah, you just want to poke him in the eyes, Jill, because he's so amazing. But just to have that would be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to our first studio guest now.
Nice.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the... You've been on the Business Bunker Show before, David. I know you have, but it was a long, long time ago. Mr. David Shaw of Business Computer Solutions. David, welcome back.
Pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm really well. Do you remember how long ago it was you were last on?
I've been on twice before, actually. I came on many, many, many years ago. And then again, when we was with... Yeah, when I was at Fruitworks, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And before that, maybe about 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So I'll tell you what, David, why don't you kick us off? Tell us a little bit about Business Computer Solutions, who are the guys that you're working with at the moment. Tell us a bit about them and where they're based and what they do.
Absolutely. So Business Computer Solutions are a managed service provider. That's an IT support company. They operate 24 hours a day and 365 days a year, doing IT support for businesses across Kent. Also doing monthly events. I do what we call lunch and learns. I do a marketing topic every single month.
Right.
And we do business topics as well. We also got a learning zone, which is a training centre where we train, again, Kent businesses on things like Excel, Word and PowerPoint. And we run these, 3, 4, 5 times a month.
Okay, cool. And how do you find the take up of that? Because, I've worked in IT or IT related things for far too long, and you kind of think that you know your way around stuff. And a couple of years ago, I had somebody come and show me some rinky dinks on Office products, and it blew me away. I mean, my productivity just went through the roof. I actually answered emails and all kinds of things because there were just things I didn't know.
And it's funny because one of our most popular sessions at the Learning Zone is called Working Smarter with Your PC. And I think people that have been using, the Office products for many, many years still get surprised at some of the little shortcuts and little tools that are sitting in there. And it's a suite of those products that they're just adding to year on year and some of the functionalities that, are within there. We run these training sessions every month and trying to get people to increase productivity.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, one of the reasons that we got a lot, apart from the fact we'd love to hear from you, and funnily enough, you reminded me earlier, so it's probably worth the plug, you wrote a book a little while ago.
I did. Yeah. It was 2 years ago this April, and you very kindly wrote the foreword for me.
I did, yeah. I'd kind of forgotten that until you reminded me. Tell the listener what the book was called and how they can get it.
Yeah, it's called Evolve or Become Obsolete. Yeah. It's about how businesses need to stay on their toes, need to keep thinking ahead, thinking about, what the competition looks like, but also about how technology may be impacting their business. It might be an entire different industry, a new way of providing a product or service, and it's just about, trying to encourage small business owners to keep looking ahead and keep innovating.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole digital landscape is about disruption and disintermediation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, so it's not even as if it should come as a surprise any longer that everybody's looking to disrupt whatever business you're in to gain competitive advantage. So we all have to keep on our toes in terms of rethinking a lot about the kind of things we're doing.
Well, actually, I was doing a talk a couple of years ago in Fruitworks, and I remember you, as you opened up the event, you talked about some of the statistics about some of the companies that were around in the 1950s, the Fortune 100 in the 1950s, and the percentage of those that are still around in sort of 2015-16, and it was incredible.
I can't remember the actual stat now, but it was a really tiny number. It was like, I did the year I was born, 1955, the top 100 companies in the world. I think it was something like 88 of them no longer exist. Yeah. Only 12 of them still exist. And those 12 have either been bought by somebody else or changed or different. Mm. You know, nobody has survived 50, 60 years at the top of the game. None. Which is amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I suspect the rate of change is even quicker now.
Absolutely, it's exactly that. You think, we talk about the life of an organisation, you know, getting past that 5-year mark, how important that is. But the average life expectancy of a lot of companies now is probably around sort of 15 years in some cases, if they don't continuously keep to innovate and keep changing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, David, you're going to be speaking at Grow Kent, the Canterbury Grow Kent event, which is taking place on the 29th of March, and it's happening at the Spitfire Ground, which is County Cricket Ground in Canterbury, and I believe you're the keynote at the breakfast event.
I am indeed. I'm doing the breakfast topic there. I'm also doing, we're bringing one of our lunch and learns to the event as well. So I'm actually speaking twice in the day, but I'm doing the keynote in the morning and then doing a lunch and learn in the afternoon as well.
Wow. Busy boy.
Absolutely.
Okay, so should we focus a little bit about what you're going to be talking about at that event and some of the issues that you're going to be raising and some of the, I guess, solutions you're going to be throwing at us?
Absolutely. So the keynote we're talking about, actually they're both quite related. So the first one I'm talking about is a subject matter that I'm hoping that everyone's concentrating or thinking about, at least, you know, and it's the General Data Protection Regulation, or some people are knowing as the GDPR. May 25th is the deadline, and this is an extension of the Data Protection Act. Again, back to technology. It's, you know, the Data Protection Act is 20 years old. And obviously it's no longer sufficient in today's digital age with the amount of information that there is around.
And the interesting thing is, I don't think a lot of people have understood this as well, the new GDPR, has actually been enforced for quite a while. What's happening is in May, they're going to start enforcing it, is the issue.
Absolutely. So it's April last year that they actually announced that this is going to come into force. So companies have had a year to get this in place. I run a GDPR lunch and learn every single month. We've packed out them lunch and learns for the last year. Every single room is full. We've still got people booked up for April and May. We're putting on extra sessions because organisations want to do so. And we also do entire one-day workshops where we're taking organisations through GDPR, but it's incredible the amount of organisations that are dismissing it or still have no idea what it is.
You get loads of small companies that go, it just doesn't affect me. Yes, it does.
It does. Absolutely every business. Yeah. Absolutely. So, I'm going to do an introduction to that at Grow Kent in Canterbury. I'm going to hopefully inspire as many small businesses as I possibly can to realise they've got time. At March 29th, they've still got a little bit of time. We've got a couple of months to do that. So if GDPR is something that they've not yet considered, then I'd encourage them to book onto the free breakfast at the Grow Kent website and come along and just get an introduction to it and find out how we can help them, make sure they're compliant come May 25th.
Absolutely. I'm thinking primarily about small businesses, very small businesses, and edging towards MEs. Like a lot of things in business, we're faced with these things all the time, and it's a constant succession of things. I saw the other day that HMRC have just started handing out big fines for auto-enrolment failures, which was last year's big regulation change. And we went through exactly the same pattern of behaviour with that. Everybody knew it was coming. Everybody had a staging date. Loads of people went, it doesn't affect me. And everybody kept saying, yes, it does, yes, it does. And now HMRC have started fining people, and in some cases very heavy fines for even quite small companies. And somebody was telling me that HMRC with GDPR, one of the things they're looking to do is to actually catch smaller businesses that haven't done it. Because the thing that they see as a problem is if you get a bigger business and say you haven't done it, everybody just still continues to ignore it by going, well, you know, that's a big business, so, you know, it doesn't affect us. And it does. It affects everybody. And telling people this over and over again doesn't seem to get us anywhere.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. You've got to ask yourself the question. If you hold, you know, any amount of what's called personally identifiable data, that's someone's name, surname, address, phone number, national insurance number, bank details, even an IP address, that's considered personally identifiable data, then GDPR affects you. Yeah. Absolutely. It doesn't matter the size of your organization, how many people. You could even, you know, some of the certain levels of, you know, how much you've got to get in place. But you could be a one-man band, a very small organization. And I've had it in workshops. I've had very tiny companies that thought, we need to do the basics, and that's fine. And they've realized that, you know, things like having a data protection officer in place for those companies that process a significant amount of personal data, even small organizations are realizing, oh, my God, you're right. We do process significant amounts of personal data. This was a company that hold, you know, events where they have thousands of people attending, and they're collecting credit cards details and addresses and names of thousands of these people that are attending the event, and they realize they held this data. So, you know, that I mean, it all comes down to what you deem is as reasonable. But you've got to ask yourself the question, you know, do you believe that thousands of people's credit card details, names and addresses, you know, is could there be some sort of significant impact if that data was compromised? Then, you know, do you think that's, you know, that's reasonable? Is that sort of thing put in place?
It's absolutely. Now, my understanding also is that it's incumbent on us to register with the ICO.
That's correct.
Yeah. Just want to kind of...
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I think most people need to do is really understand that this probably does affect you. There's very, very few organisations that this doesn't affect. You know, some hobbyist group, for example, you know, it might not necessarily be affected. But other than that, it affects everybody. You know, you do need to go to the ICO, to the website, and you do need to, you know, to check out what this is. You know, I've taken the time to read the full documentation, but there's lots of digestible information in there. Or again, coming to this, there's lots of people doing these events, including ourselves at BCS, you know, and at Grow Kent, to try and get that basic understanding of what you need to be doing in order to become compliant. But yeah, registering absolutely is one thing. And this is really a documentation process. As long as you've shown that you've given this some thought, because a really important point, Paul, is this isn't a tick box exercise. This isn't when come May 25th that you've ticked the boxes and you're done. What a lot of people might have done with data protection previously. This is much more of an ongoing process. This needs to be something that it's ongoing, it's iterative, and you need to continue to keep working on it and so on. But you just need to show that you've given this thought process, you've documented your thought process, and you've justified your reasons why you're collecting personal data and what you're doing with and who you're sharing with it. And then I think most organisations are going to be okay, but there's still some work that needs to be done before May 25th.
Yeah, and they need to think about it. That's the main thing, is it's no good just sweeping it under the carpet and pretending it's not happening.
Think about it, document it, and justify it. As long as you can, you know, you can say that you believe that it's reasonable. Because, you know, all I've been doing, you know, for the last year and so on, is I've been given my interpretation of it. You know, we've got another colleague of mine, Daniel Cook. He is, you know, he's working his way as a practitioner as well, going through that, and, you know, and he's going through that, you know, the examination process now. And, you know, as works through that, and the big point of it about it is this is about, you know, what you believe to be reasonable. Like you say, give it some thought and document that process.
Okay, cool. So we're going to be hearing from you at the breakfast meeting. It is free to attend the
Absolutely.
Breakfast. It's a free breakfast. Yeah, bacon rolls, tea, coffee, or whatever.
It is limited spaces. So I think that, you know, I would suggest if something
you have to register.
That.
Yeah,
absolutely. And if you can't, maybe get that one. The afternoon session is joint. What I'm doing is a lunch and learn session. I'm actually doing email marketing in compliance, because where consent is such a huge part of GDPR, and this is about your email list, your database list, this is massive. It's really huge. Mm. So my lunch and learn session actually at the event is going to be about email marketing in compliance and making sure how you can make sure you get those lists. A lot of companies are going to be through a lot of shocks when they learn about how their email lists are going to be affected as a result of consent with GDPR.
Email's a laugh, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you look at things like this. I mean, in my business, we get a load of grief, even though we send a lot of emails, over a million a month, and all of them are opted in, and they're opted in big time. You know, it isn't just a, you know, do you want to receive? It's not a newsletter or anything. People have to fill out a huge form that says, this is what I want. Yeah, because they're jobs by email. So basically, this is what I want. This is when I want it. This is how often I want it. And da, 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 da. So as it happens, our processes for it were compliant before we needed to be compliant, just because it was a good business process for us.
Yes, absolutely.
But the amount of people, but we still get grief. We still get grief from people that try to blacklist and say, you can't do that, you can't send these. The interesting thing is the amount of people you talk to that go, no, it's right, I'm compliant, somebody gave me their business card. Really?
Honestly, that's exactly the topic I have in the workshops. Yeah. It's absolutely fascinating, because that's actually still being debated right now at the ICO, and that is that exact one. You've hit the nail right on the head there, that one. And I'll be interested to know what your listeners are thinking. You know, is giving somebody a business card, is that consent?
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting one, you know, about what you class as, you know, consent or not. Do you think you can then go, what you can't do is go adding them to mailing lists, you know.
Yeah.
You can email them individually because they've given you their email address on the business card. What you can't do is that thing. And what small businesses unfortunately have done for many years is they've imported all of these business cards into a MailChimp list. They've ticked the box that says, yes, I've got consent, and they don't.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have consent. And that's the point where, however large your database, there's businesses out there that are solely reliant on that email list, and they've got the time now to actually get those opt-ins now before it's too late. But you've got to understand, you know, how consent works with GDPR and how it's going to impact their business.
And you're going to be talking about that afternoon session.
No, oh, yeah, absolutely. In the lunchtime session, yes.
Yeah, sorry. Lunchtime. Lunch is the afternoon for me. It's when I start to wind down, David. I will be there as well. I'm chairing the whole event, as usual, and the awards in the evening. It's another 19-hour epic for me. But it's all going to be good fun. Last year's event at Canterbury was massively well attended. I might be making this up, I think there were over 600 delegates there last year. So it's going to be big. So do register for your free place. It is free, but you need to let people know you're coming. David's speaking at breakfast. What time are you on?
7 o'clock, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're emceeing
him. I'm emceeing. I've got to introduce him. Yeah, I've got to be there before that. But no, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great day, and you can hear David on both GDPR and email marketing. So do come along. David, for the moment, thank you very much. If people want to find out more about you, your organisation, or you personally, what's the best way to get in touch with you, follow you, or get consent to put you on their mailing list? No.
So the website for Business Computer Solutions is simply www.businesscomputersolutions.co.uk, or it's BCS365 on Twitter, or for myself, it's at David Markshaw.
Fantastic. David, thank you so much for that. And I can highly recommend David's book as well. Do give it a read. Give us the title again, just one more time.
It's called Evolve or Become Obsolete, and it's available on Amazon in Kindle or paperback.
Fantastic. Thank you.
With
a foreword by me. So there you go.
I didn't know you did those.
What, forwards?
Yes.
I'm very forward me. Cool. David, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. And do stay with us for the rest of the show. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Channel Radio News Update.
We're going to bring you some news roundups from the world of business that we think you may find interesting. A third of businesses view apprentices as the most valuable source of emerging talent in 2018. That's according to a poll of over 2,000 senior HR professionals carried out by Alexander Mann Solutions. The data comes following the introduction of the apprenticeship levy in April last year, an initiative which is designed to boost the number of young people entering vocational training. And despite the fact that they started with a drop of 59%, it's actually started to pick up. And the reason that it dropped off like that is because the government changed all the rules completely and everybody got very confused. But it's starting to catch up again now.
Improving agility is a top priority for European SME leaders seeking to take advantage of a digital empowered workplace. According to a new study commissioned by RICO Europe, the majority, 86% of the 1,608 SME leaders surveyed say that they are actively focusing on improving business agility in 2018. So that means that SME decision makers clearly prioritise technology that directly addresses core employee needs. They believe automation, which is about 72%, data analytics, 64%, and document management, 62%, and video in conferencing is 56%, will have the most positive impact on their business.
In response to Brexit, 62% of mid-market business leaders plan to increase their investment in exports beyond the EU. Mid-market businesses are bracing themselves to the impact of Brexit and looking beyond Europe to shore up their future success, according to research from national law firm Mills & Reeve. The study, called Defying Gravity, based on the opinions of 500 leaders of medium-sized businesses in the UK, reveals that mid-market businesses remain confident in their growth prospects and are overhauling their strategies in preparation for Britain's EU exit. 60% of mid-market business leaders plan to increase investment in exports outside the EU in response to this, and the research reveals that mid-market businesses are feeling bullish despite the unstable landscape, with 83% planning to increase turnover this financial year by an average of 22%.
More than half of the UK workers, 61%, are desperate to work for themselves, but those dreams never become a reality for one in six budding entrepreneurs because they do not know how to market themselves properly. Gosh, I hear this all the time, according to research commissioned by a direct selling company, Vorwerk. So, although the proportion of small businesses planning to invest in new technology is lower than for larger businesses, almost half of small businesses will invest in cybersecurity and cloud computing this year. British businesses are prioritising investment in cybersecurity, cloud computing and connectivity in 2018 as they seek to build stronger and more resilient businesses, according to the new research from Beaming, the business internet service provider.
This will be interesting to David and his book as well. 2018 is predicted to be another record year for startups in the UK, with 76% of SMEs working on new ideas and new innovations. SMEs are the lifeblood of the global economic ecosystem, refreshed and renewed by the startup. Leading digital marketing experts Digimac find the UK startup trend is set to continue, and it reveals 76% of business owners said they are currently working on new ideas, and 43% are aiming to launch a new idea or a new product this year, and more than half, 56%, have previously moved from conception to launch within 24 months.
So smaller, and this adds on beautifully to this, smaller and growing businesses are struggling to hire the right talent. I'm only just looking at this at the minute. According to the most recent survey from Smith and Williamson, 66% of businesses are seeking new hires, according to the Enterprise Index survey, a quarterly barometer which tests the views of over 200 business leaders and entrepreneurs. Now, however, only 38% believe the workforce is sufficiently trained or educated to help them achieve their growth plans. Interesting.
I know. I can tell you that right now, today, according to the ONS, there are 810,000 unfilled full-time jobs in the United Kingdom, and we're just about to produce another million. I don't know how we're going to do that.
Skills over will or will over skills?
Don't know. Hard to tell. Mm. If you look at the unemployment stats, 1.4 million, we kind of stick at 1.4 million no matter what we do. But actually, what most people don't understand with these kind of stats is the stats are fluid. It's not the same 1.4 million people all the time. Yeah, a hardcore long-term unemployed. And by the way, long-term unemployed is only people that have been out of work for more than 3 months. Mm. Yeah, is 600,000. So, you know, we're as near to full employment as you could probably get in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talking about all such things, because this show isn't just thrown together, you know. It's produced within an inch of its life. So everything flows nicely. UK salaries rise in February as employers push to attract more candidates, with many of the nation's key sectors witnessing above average salary growth last month. It was a strong start to the year for both employers and professionals, and it's clear that businesses were working hard to continue attracting talented candidates to their roles. In fact, according to the latest statistics from the job boards, advertised salaries increased by another 1.3% last month.
Well, it needs to, because you've heard about parking at the minute.
Yep.
45% they're going to increase parking.
Yep.
How is that allowed to happen? I do not understand that. Anyway, the average UK small business spends £5,000 and 3 working weeks every year on tax compliance, according to the latest report. Now, the report highlights the many hurdles small businesses face when trying to pay taxes. Almost half, 46%, say determining the tax rates of which they were required to pay is a challenge. 4 in 10 find exemptions confusing. Value-added tax, pay-as-you-earn and employer national income contributions are identified as the most time-consuming taxes to handle. the average small business spends 95 hours a year complying with the three collectively. Due to the complexity of the tax compliance process, more than three quarters of small firms pay a specialist to ensure their taxes are paid correctly.
The majority of the UK small business owners are putting growth on their 2018 agenda, according to survey results released by leading UK workspace provider FlexSpace. In the FlexSpace Business Sentiment Survey, they gathered the opinions of 150 businesses. 80% of respondents expect moderate or substantial growth. 78% expect their confidence in the UK economy to increase. And 43% of business owners said they intended to recruit in 2018. 32% of those said they hope to recruit four or more employees. That's
a
lot.
It is. Well, Lloyds Bank Business Barometer for January 2018 shows overall business confidence increased by 7 points to a 9-month high of 35%. Business confidence increased to 35% at the start of this year, according to the latest business barometer from Lloyds Bank Commercial Banking. This increase this month is to the highest level since April 2017 and above the long-term average of 32%. The rise in overall business confidence is driven by a 9-month high economic optimism, which jumped 23 points. That sounds an awful lot of numbers. I just think we're getting really confident.
Absolutely. That brings us to the end of our news update. We're now going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
On the hour, Channel Radio news update.
Philip Hammond has delivered his spring statement to the House of Commons. The Chancellor was upbeat about the state of the UK economy. He said it's growing at a faster rate than predicted at the back end of last year. Janet Jacks, the CEO of the International Association of Bookkeepers, and says the current economic climate is still tough for small firms.
The government have put quite a lot on small businesses in the last 12 months. And then, you know, there's more things coming down the line with making tax digital, etc. So probably a good time to have someone good financial input.
Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, says the country's no connection to the poisoning of a former Russian spy and his daughter in Salisbury. Sergei Skripal and daughter Yulia remain in a serious condition in hospital. Donald Trump has sacked his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. It follows a series of public rifts between